जय राधा माधवा कुंज बिहारी गोपी जन बाला गिरिवरधारी जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी गोपी जन बाला गिरिवरधारी यशोदा नंदन व्रज जन रंजन यशोरनंदन व्रज जन रंजन यमुना तीरवन चारी यमुना तीरवन चारी जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी गोपी जन बाला गिरिवरधारी यशोदा नंदन व्रज जन रंजन यमुना तीरवन चारी जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी गोपी जन बाला गिरिवरधारी जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी गोपी जन बाला गिरिवरधारी यशोदा नंदन व्रज जन रंजन यशोरनंदन व्रज जन रंजन यमुना तीरवन चारी यमुना तीरवन चारी जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी गोपी जन बाला गिरिवरधारी जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी गोपी जन बाला गिरिवरधारी
जय ओम विष्णुपाद परमहंस परिवजाकाचार्य अष्टोत्तर सतश्री श्रीमद इस वाइन जैसे श्री भक्ति वेदांत स्वामी श्री प्रभुपाद की जय गौर प्रेमानंदी ऑल ग्लोरीज टू द असेंबल्ड डिवोटीज ऑल ग्लोरीज टू द असेंबल्ड डिवोटीज ऑल ग्लोरीज टू द असेंबल्ड डिवोटीज ऑल ग्लोरीज टू श्री श्री गुरु एंड गौरांग श्री प्रभुपाद की नमः ओम विष्णु पादाय कृष्ण प्रेष्ठाय भूतले श्रीमते भक्ति वेदांत स्वामिनिति नामने नमस्ते सरस्वती देवी गौरवाणी विचारणे निर्विशेष शून्य वरि पश्चाचुदे सदानने ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय So this morning a reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, 10th canto, chapter 10, Deliverance of the Yamal Arjuna Trees. Today's text number 32. So word meanings. Griyamanai. No, I'll just read them. Griyamanai, accepting the body made of material nature as existing at the present moment because of being visible. Tvam, you. Agraya, not confined in a body made of material nature. Vikarai, agitated by the mind. Prakritai, gunai, by the material modes of nature, sattvaguna, rajaguna, and tamoguna. Ka, who is there, new after that, iha, in this material world. Arhati, who deserves vigyatum, to know, prak siddham, that which existed before the creation, gunasamrita, because of being covered by material qualities. Griyamanaistvam agrayo. Griyamanas tvam agrayo vikarai prakritair gunai ko nviharhati vigyatum praksidham gunasamrita Kriyamanaistvam agrayo Vikarai prakritair gunai Kon viharhati vigyatum Praksidham gunasamrita Kriyamanaistvam agrayo Vikarai prakritair gunai Ko nviharhati vigyatum Praksidham gunasamrita Ladies.
Thank you.
Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. O Lord, You exist before the creation. Therefore, who, trapped by a body of material qualities in this material world, can understand You? Purport. As it is said, Atak Sri Krishna Namadi Nabhaved Grayam Indriyai Sevan Mukhi Hijivadao Swayam Eva Spratyada Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu 1.2.234. Krishna's name, attributes, and form are absolute truth, existing before the creation. Therefore, how can those who are created, that is, those entrapped in bodies created of material elements, understand Krishna perfectly? This is not possible. But Sevon Mukhe Hijivadao Swayam Eva Spratyada. Krishna reveals Himself to those engaged in devotional service. This is confirmed in Bhagavad Gita 18.15 by the Lord Himself, Bhaktyamam Abhijanati. Even the descriptions of Krishna in Srimad Bhagavatams are sometimes misunderstood by less intelligent men with a poor fund of knowledge. Therefore, the best course by which to know Him is to engage oneself in pure devotional activities. The more one advances in devotional activities, the more one can understand Him, Krishna, as He is. If, from the material platform, one could understand Krishna, then, since Krishna is everything, sarvam kalam vidam brahma, one could understand Krishna by seeing anything within this material world. But that is not possible. Maya tatamidam sarvam jagat avyakta murtina matstani sarvabhutani nachaham tvestavastita. Everything is resting on Krishna and everything is Krishna, but this is not to be realized by persons on the material platform. Om Ajnana Timarandasya Gananjana Shalakaya Chaksur Unmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. This realization is being spoken by Nalakubara and Manigriva upon having the darshan of Sri Krishna. Of course, they had the darshan of Sri Krishna for some time, standing in the courtyard of Nanda Maharaj. But when Krishna broke down the Yamala Arjuna trees, then they got a chance to express their realizations. And this is a very, very important realization that we're studying here today. So, dear devotees, let's try to put our minds in meditation on trying to understand this purport, this verse in purport, because it's very important for our transcendental existence. Prabhupada's explaining in the purport why we can't understand. Why we can't understand Krishna. Of course, we know the example that's generally given about how you know your mother. You can't know your mother unless you rely on some outside source, because your mother existed before you. You don't know. It's not possible for you to know. You came after. You were the source, so how can you understand the source without hearing from the source itself? So the Vedic literatures are sometimes compared to the mother, because the Vedic literatures can explain to us the origin of ourself, the origin of this material world. So Manigriva and Nalakubara, they're explaining that Because Krishna existed before the creation, before we became conscious beings, it's not possible for us to understand Krishna without Him revealing Himself to us. Krishna must first reveal Himself, then we can understand. So, how does that process take place? How does Krishna reveal Himself to us? Well, Prabhupada quotes this verse in the purport from Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, Atak Shri Krishna Namadi Nabhaved Graim Indriyai Sevan Mukha Hijivadao Swayam Evas Pratyada. He's talking about the transcendental nature of the name, form, pastimes, paraphernalia of Krishna, and that how we can understand that transcendental nature and our relationship to it is by engaging in devotional service. So there are three things that are elements of devotional service: Bhagavan, the Supreme Personality of God Himself; Bhakti, which is the process of loving devotional service; and Bhakta, the devotee. So Bhagavan, Bhakti, and Bhakta. But there's a problem with these three things. The problem is that, generally speaking, they're not available in the material world. So we're in the material world, and these things are what is meant to be understood, but they're not available in this material world. They're different than the material world. And there's one very nice book written by our godbrother, His Holiness Gorgovinda Swami Maharaj, called Mathura Meets Vrindavan. And an introduction to that book, Gorgovinda Maharaj quotes one of Prabhupada's purports, where Prabhupada says that Bhagavan, Bhakti, and Bhakta are not available in the material world. No matter what we do, we can't get those things on our own. We're dependent upon mercy. We're dependent upon mercy. We give this example, like I said a few minutes ago, about how we can't understand our mother, but then if we hear from the mother, then we can understand our origin. Well, this is completely dependent upon the mother revealing that. The mother's what? The mother's mercy. Without that feeling that, well, let me enlighten my child, then there's no way that that knowledge can actually be transmitted. Similarly, we cannot force our way into the kingdom of God. We cannot force knowledge of God. Even by spiritual practice. Spiritual practice makes the Lord inclined to us to render mercy to us. But ultimately, that mercy is causeless. We use this term, causeless mercy. Does it mean because we chant so many rounds, we perform so many aartis, we do so much service, that by that service alone, we are guaranteed to know the Supreme Lord? No. That service makes the Lord inclined to give His mercy to us. And by that mercy, then we can understand. Otherwise, it's not possible. It's not possible. Because we remain on the material platform. With this materially contaminated mind and senses, we cannot understand the Supreme Lord. So, Gorgamindamars explains that, quoting Prabhupada's purport, Bhagavan Bhakti and Bhakta aren't available in the material world, except by their causeless mercy. So, what is it about bhakti that makes it unavailable here in this material world? Well, bhakti, the nature of bhakti is very, it's part of the Srup Shakti, the internal potency of the Lord. That's what bhakti is. This material world is the external potency of the Supreme Lord. So in the spiritual world, the constitution of the world there, everything that happens there is of this nature of bhakti, loving service to the Supreme Lord. That's the nature of the spiritual world. It's called vritti. The characteristic of the spiritual world is bhakti. But we are currently entrapped by these bodies, as is explained in the verse today, trapped in a body of material qualities. And what is the vritti, or the quality of this world? Who can say what the quality of this world is? Ignorance, yes. The quality of this world is ignorance. And ignorance of what? Last Saturday, we were speaking on Chaitanya Charitamrita, and in a purport, Prabhupada said that everything about the material world can be known. And he was referring to how particularly Mayavadi philosophers study very extensively the scriptures, the nature of this world, and they can understand the nature of this world. He said that right in the purport. He said you can understand the nature of this world. And we see, actually, it's not like people are just walking around, you know, deaf and dumb, blind, bumping into trees and everything. No, they have some knowledge. They can understand. They can make a car. They can travel from here to there. They can make a plane. They can do so many things. They can organize big enterprises. So it does appear that there is some knowledge here. So when we say this world is full of ignorance, what do we mean? What is it ignorant of? It's ignorant of these three things: Bhagavan, Bhakti, and Bhakta. That's the ignorance that covers this world. And those three things, just try to meditate a bit about what those three things offer us. They offer us eternal life, no material miseries, no threefold miseries of this world, fourfold miseries of this world, threefold miseries, adiatmic, adidaivic, adibhotic, fourfold miseries, birth, death, old age, disease. All these things are absent in the spiritual world. But that's not the real glory of the spiritual world. The real glory of the spiritual world is that there are loving, satisfying relationships with the Supreme Lord Krishna. Not just Narayan and Vaikuntha, but eternal loving relationships with Krishna and Gokula Vrindavan. That ignorance of that, being in ignorance of all that wonderful, those wonderful things which are offered by bhakti, Bhagavan, and bhakta, that's true ignorance, and that's very unfortunate for all the conditioned souls. Very unfortunate situation. So that's the ignorance of this world. And that ignorance is dispelled only by the mercy of the Supreme Lord. If bhakti, bhakta, Bhagavan aren't available in this material world, then how are they made available in this material world? By mercy. But what's the manifestation of that mercy? Oh, he's, Madan Mohan's pointing to Srila Prabhupada. Yes. The sadhus, the gurus, that's the mercy of the Supreme Lord. There was a funny incident one time. Prabhupada was with some of his disciples on a morning walk, and they asked him, Prabhupada, what is the mercy of the guru? What is guru kripa? And Prabhupada took his finger and he poked like that. This is guru kripa. He's poking. The guru is poking you. This is guru kripa. He's poking us. He's waking us up. He's reminding us. He's giving us the opportunity. This is bhakta. The bhakta of the Lord, the devotee of the Lord, he comes to this world and he gives us an opportunity to take to bhakti so that we can know Bhagavan. Otherwise, it's not available. It's just not there. There's a very nice verse that describes this in Rupa Goswami's teachings to in Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's teachings to Rupa Goswami. He said, he told Rupa Goswami, Brahmanda Brahmite Kona Bhagyavana Jeev Guru Krishna Prasadai Pai Bhakti Lata Beej. According to their karma, all living entities are wandering throughout the entire universe. Some of them are being elevated to the upper planetary systems, and some are going down to the lower planetary systems. Out of many millions of wandering living entities, one who is very fortunate gets an opportunity to associate with a bona fide spiritual master by the grace of Krishna. By the mercy of both Krishna and the spiritual master, such a person receives the seed of the creeper of devotional service. So this opportunity to get out of ignorance of this material world comes in the form of sadhus, gurus that come to push us, to engage us in devotional service. This process is so much mercy. Jiva Goswami explains that this process is so much mercy and dependent upon mercy instead of our own initiative, that Jiva Goswami says, even the desire that comes into our mind that, oh, I think I'd like to serve Krishna, that's also mercy only. It's not, you know, by our own, you know, coming to that conclusion that, oh, I would like to serve Krishna. That's mercy only. That's the descent of the Sarup Shakti, the internal potency of the Lord, through the devotee and delivered to the conditioned soul. Otherwise, as Prabhupada said here, that is not possible. It's not possible to engage in devotional service, to begin to purify ourselves of this ignorance of material coverings, unless we get the mercy of the devotee of the Lord. Otherwise, we're just like it describes in this verse, Brahmanda Brahmite, we're wandering. We're wandering in this universe, all over, from the top to the bottom. There are things in this universe which are so horrifying that we can't speak about them. And there are things in this universe which are so alluring that we better not hear about them, because we might start running after them. But with all of that, all of the good and bad, so many of the different varieties of existence we can find within this material world, throughout all of that, we cannot find the real jewel of devotional service. So therefore it says we're wandering. It's interesting, this word wandering, because it kind of indicates, doesn't it, that we're kind of like haphazardly going here or there, or randomly going here or there. But it's not like that. It's very exacting. The wanderings of the living entity in this world are very exacting. As you desire, you shall get. very exacting. Actually, if we honestly examine ourselves, we can find that the situation we find ourselves in are specifically tailored to us based on our material desires. And this is the case for all living beings. Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, Ishvara, what is it? Ishvara? Aham? No. Ishvara sarvabhutanam hridesha arjuna tisthati brahmayan sarvabhutani yantra ujrani maya. This word is wandering there also. The Supreme Lord is situated in everyone's heart, O Arjuna, and is directing the wanderings of all living entities who are seated on a machine, as on a machine made of material energy. Krishna is directing the wanderings. So do you think that Krishna doesn't, you know, have it very organized where he can give you exactly what you want? He's directing it. So it's not wandering in the sense of meandering without purpose. The purpose of our situations in life is sense enjoyment. And Krishna exactingly gives that to us. But the purpose is wrong. The purpose of our wandering should not be sense enjoyment. And therefore this word wandering comes up in another capacity. And that is, you've heard this term, I think it, we say, Om Vishnupad Paramahamsa Parabhajakacharya Ashtotra Satashishi Mad His Divine Grace Hesi Bhaktivedanta Swami Shri Prabhupada Ki Jai. In there is the wandering mendicant. Is that part of the translation? Huh? Parabhajakacharya. The wandering mendicant. He's also wandering. The guru is also wandering, but his wandering is not like our wandering. Our wandering is purposeless, exacting as it may be, but it's purposeless. But his wandering is full of meaning. He's full of meaning because by wandering, he gives all those he comes in contact with, the spiritual energy, Srup Shakti of the Lord, so that one can begin the process of engaging in devotional service. He's called like a touchstone. Wherever he goes, he gives Krishna Bhakti. So that's the purpose of the wanderings of the great devotees. And thank God they do wander, because if they didn't, where would we be? We'd be completely lost. We'd be completely lost in this material nature. There's a very nice quote that Prabhupada, two quotes actually, that Prabhupada spoke, concerning how this Brahmanda Brahmite verse works. It wasn't commentary just on that verse, but they very nicely illustrated. And the first one is a simple one. Prabhupada said, I created your good fortune. The devotees asked Prabhupada something, and they were concerned about, well, if you need good fortune to get this, how did we get it, Prabhupada? We have no good qualities. And Prabhupada's response said, I created your good fortune. So this verse, Brahmanda Brahmite Kona Bhagyavana Jeev Guru Krishna Pashari Pai Bhakti Latabhis, it says that one who is very fortunate gets the mercy. So we weren't even fortunate. He had to make us fortunate. And then we could get the mercy. He had to make us fortunate. So Prabhupada said, I created your good fortune. Otherwise, we had none. So that's one quote. And the other quote, it's a very interesting one. Again, it's a famous one. Prabhupada spoke this 1968 in Los Angeles, when he was on occasion of his spiritual master's disappearance, I do believe it was. But he explains very humbly about himself and also about us how the wanderings of the transcendental mendicants produces good fortune for the living entities. I'll read the quote. So in his life, he was Akhanda Brahmachari. Bhaktivinoda Thakur had many other sons, and he was the fifth son. This is talking about Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. And some of his older brothers also, they did not marry. And my Guru Maharaj, he also did not marry. From childhood, he is strict brahmachari, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Goswami Maharaj. And he underwent very severe penances for starting this movement, worldwide movement. That was his mission. Bhaktivinoda Thakur wanted to do this. He, 1896, Bhaktivinoda Thakur wanted to introduce this Krishna consciousness movement by sending this book, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, His Life and Precepts. Fortunately, that year was my birth year, and by Krishna's arrangement, we came in contact. By Krishna's arrangement, we came in contact. I was born in a different family. My Guru Maharaj was born in a different family. Who knew that I will come to his protection? Who knew I would come to America? Who knew that you American boys and girls, he doesn't have to say girls here, so don't want to get the quote wrong, although the girls probably aren't excluded. Who knew that you American boys will come to me? These are all Krishna's arrangement. We cannot understand how things are taking place. So we can't understand how things are taking place, but by Krishna's arrangement, we get the opportunity to come in contact with a devotee of the Lord. And that opens the entire spiritual world to us. But without that mercy, it's not possible. Prabhupada's explaining in this verse today. It's not possible, no matter what you do. So we should always be in the position of trying to seek the mercy of the devotees of the Lord. And how is that done? How is that best accomplished, to seek the mercy of the devotees of the Lord? Well, by rendering humble service, by having not just rendering humble service, because we can do so much humble service. We can go and, you know, we can wash pots in the kitchen. We can do other manual labor. We can even be dressing the deities. There's so much labor available. But if it's not done with a humble heart, then is it really service? Is it really pleasing to the Lord? The idea of satisfying the devotee is to satisfy Krishna, to do activities which is pleasing to Krishna. Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu begins with a definition of bhakti, anyabhi lasita sunyam jnana karmajinavritam anukulyena krishnanu silanam bhaktir uttama. So anusilanam, activities are meant to be done, but if it's not anukulya, if it's not done favorably, if that attitude is not there, attitude comes from the heart. If the favorable attitude is not there, then the activities that cultivate bhakti won't bear the fruit. The definition is given by Rupa Goswami. Both things must be there. So, not just doing humble service, cleaning the bathroom, but with affection for Krishna, for love for Krishna, a desire to please Krishna in the heart. If we do that, then we can attract Krishna. We can attract the mercy of the devotees of Krishna. Otherwise, if we remain proud, then it's not possible. All this wonderful spiritual world that's given through bhakti and Bhagavan, it's not possible if we don't approach according to the proper definition and attitude as given in Parampara. So, Manigriva, Nalukuvara, they didn't, you may say, do all these things. They didn't render humble service. They were drunken sense enjoyers. So how is it that they are now in the position of having a direct darshan and being able to offer prayers to the Supreme Lord in the courtyard of Nanda Maharaj? How is that possible? According to what you've been saying, that's not possible. Well, it's possible because of the causeless mercy of the devotee of the Lord. Because the devotee of the Lord is so concerned and so compassionate to the fallen souls that even without their desire, without their initial desire, he'll put them in circumstances where they can get the mercy of the Lord and take advantage of the mercy of the Lord. That's the kindness of Krishna and his devotees. That even we want to turn our face away, they force themselves upon us. Sometimes people are concerned, express concerns about how a devotee's attempts to spread Krishna consciousness. There's a famous letter that Nagaraj Prabhu referred to recently in class. Prabhupada wrote to Lynn Ludwig, who was a lady that devotees met in a parking lot in California. And apparently the exchange probably wasn't very sweet. Had another characteristic that she was worried about. And so she wrote Prabhupada a letter about her concerns. And Prabhupada wrote her a long letter back. And of course, he's very gracious and apologized for any difficulties his devotees had caused her. But then at the end, he said that, please forgive them, because they've made a commitment to serving Krishna. And that is never the wrong thing to do with one's life. So, devotees of the Lord are very merciful. Narada Muni is very merciful to Manigriva and Nalukuvara. He cursed them, but the benefit was they got something beyond their expectations, beyond what they could expect. They could have expected some terrible things to come from a sage standing naked in a body of water, being exposed in their full-blown material desires. They could have expected the worst that was possible out of this material nature. But they actually got the best thing beyond the material nature. Such is the mercy of the Vaishnava devotees of the Lord. So if we have the opportunity to serve them, we should do so in ways in which are pleasing to them, and that guarantees all success for us. So are there any comments or questions about these subject matters? Yes.
Yes. sometimes that mercy is not so easy to identify. Mm. So how do we understand what is mercy and what is the lack of mercy or the vacancy? Are there signs, symptoms? Are they the same for everyone? Mm. That type of thing.
Well, obviously they're not going to be the same for everyone because we're individuals. We have an individual relationship with Krishna. And that individual relationship with Krishna is eternal. And so from the very first approach to Krishna consciousness, to the receiving the mercy of the devotees of the Lord, it's going to be individual experience. And one way to look at it is that everything is the mercy. It's not like this is mercy and that's not mercy. Everything is the mercy of the Lord. And if we see our life like that, then we're constantly in a position where we can benefit and participate and receive the mercy of the Lord. But we're trying to determine, well, is this mercy and how is this mercy and how is that not mercy? Then that type of discrimination may cause us to miss some lessons that we are meant to learn. Now, of course, that's hard to accept. Everything is the mercy of the Lord. Particularly, we want to see the good things as mercy and the bad things as something else. But the actual fact is that it's all Krishna's mercy and it's all meant for us to advance. And, you know, there's that play that's done traditionally, Krishna's mercy, you know, where when the king's finger gets cut and he says that, his minister says that's Krishna's mercy, and then he throws him in jail, and then, you know that play. Anyway, it's a long play, but it explains how anything is Krishna's mercy, even something that apparently goes wrong. So things that go wrong in our life, when we take to devotional service, things start falling apart in ways in which we didn't expect. We have to strive to see how that's the mercy of the Lord. And I would answer a question with encouraging myself to do that rather than to try to distinguish this is mercy and that's not mercy. Okay? Madan Mohan?
Just one little aspect of that same that you just said, is seeing everything as a mercy. That's the mercy, to be able to see it. That's one aspect of the mercy, is to be able to see the mercy.
Hmm. Yes. Somebody, Dom Rashford?
I just want to thank you for explaining every verse that you quoted so that listeners here and around the world can understand, you know, every non-English word that you quoted. So that is very nice. I was thinking that we were talking about that verse, Brahmana Brahmite, that only one who is fortunate is able to get the mercy of the Guru, which is by the mercy of Krishna. And then also you explained earlier that when one performs devotional service, you know, like doing worship or anything, that's not the actual qualification. It's actually the mercy that flows from there, or from the source of the Guru, that gives us that opportunity and gives us the chance. So I was thinking sometimes if one sees that, especially like from a neophyte point of view, one may think that, well, maybe we shouldn't be that faithful to perform service if it's only comes by mercy, or that how would we become fortunate? In other words, that why is our God like partial, that only a few people are fortunate? Like he says, millions of souls are been traversing up and down. So how can we, you know, argue that point?
Well, Krishna is ready for everybody One reason why Bhakta, Bhagavan, and Bhakti aren't present in this material world, aren't to be found in this material world, is because people don't want him, want it. And so Krishna is so kind that if you don't want him, he's willing to recede into the background, although existentially you can't exist without Krishna. I mean, it's the idea that, you know, we can exist without Krishna is a complete fallacy. We can't. We're dependent on Krishna for everything, at all places, all times, forever. Now, if we don't want it, we're even dependent on Krishna for not wanting him and being able to live where he's in the background and we can't see him. That's the nature of this material world. It's Krishna's mercy. So everyone's getting Krishna's mercy. But if you want to have a loving relationship with him, what did Prabhupada say? Krishna's attitude is, come on. He's ready for that. Therefore, he comes in this world. He incarnates in this world. He sends his devotees to this world. Constantly, the incarnations of the Lord in this world, the avatars, means to descend in this material world, are countless, like waves of a river, constantly coming. What to speak, those are avatars of himself, but he sends his devotees. His devotees come, constantly are coming, and they're canvassing. They're also wandering, canvassing. So many. So it's not like he's leaving us alone. He's trying to give us at every opportunity, the opportunity. So it's not just like a few. A few take advantage, but what can he do? If you don't want to take advantage, then he's not going to force you. He's not going to force you. But he's so kind that he does force you anyway. By having the devotees, inspiring the devotees to go and to preach and to give the conditioned souls. So that inspiration that comes to the few of us sitting here to engage in the preaching movement of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, what is that? That's Krishna's mercy, not only to us, but to all the living entities that we come in contact with. So he's not neglectful. So only a few take, but everyone is being offered constantly. So we'd have to take it. It's not that hard, really. Anything else? Anyone else? We're over time. Kantrachi Mad Bhagavatam.